This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Now a hair growth product with natural ingredients and fast results. Reveal from GCNLife.com.
I'm instructing my administration to halt funding of the World Health Organization while a review is conducted to assess the World Health Organization's role in severely mismanaging and covering up the spread of the coronavirus. This is an evaluation period, but in the meantime, we're putting a hold on all funds going to World Health. We will be able to take that money and channel it to the areas that most needed, and that's another way of doing it, but we have not been treated properly.
All right, the president takes a big swing at the World Health Organization. Hey, everybody, Kate Delaney, how are you feeling this week? As we chug along, staying at home and social distancing, at least a big chunk of the country doing that. I have the numbers, the people who have recovered, the people who have died, and how many have gotten the coronavirus, and where we stand now. A little bit more on the World Health Organization and the tug of war over funding, although for the president, I think it was, from his point of view, a no-brainer that he was not moving forward with dumping more do-re-mi in the direction of the WHO. Many people furious, and you can count on this being something that will be a rallying cry, health in general, for the Democrats, as a former president naturally endorses the guy who was his VP, so President Obama coming out today and endorsing Joe Biden. All that's left on that ticket is who is the woman, because he promises a woman, who is going to be the VP to go up against the incumbent, President Trump, who says no more funding for the World Health Organization. He said the review would cover the WHO's role in severely mismanaging and covering up the spread of coronavirus. He said, look to them. His announcement right smack in the middle of the pandemic. And he's defending how he's handling the outbreak in the United States, where there's lots of questions about when did we know, what could we have done before, especially the question over February. So as I said, he's coming out and swinging and saying, okay, we're not giving money to the organization who was influencing what was happening with the crisis as far as numbers were concerned. So there was tons of questions about whether this crisis has been downplayed, ignored, how did the administration handle it, where do you assign blame in all this. Just so you know, the cha-ching factor to the WHO, this is a devastating blow to them, and this is the way to get, from the point of view of the administration, get to the bottom of, okay, so let's look at everything that was said. The U.S. funds about $400 million to $500 million each year. China, to just show you the comparison, which the president himself pointed out, and you can look these numbers up, China contributes about $40 million. And the whole idea of the WHO, it's not to be a political organization. It's medical experts who dive into whatever is happening, of course, World Health Organization, that affects us and our health, whether it's a pandemic, and usually that's what it's about. So what about these medical experts, and what did they know? Because, of course, this was Wuhan is where the Wuhan is where this broke out in China. How quickly did they know on the ground? And, of course, all of that. Coming up in our next hour, Clay Grubb will join us. His daughter was in Shanghai. He got COVID-19 when he was in San Diego. He said he was stunned that there was so much misinformation, and this is what the president is saying. He's saying, whoa, 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 if you want to jump on me, here's the deal. This is the information we were given. So the way that he decided to do that was to rip the rug out financially from the WHO. And, you know, it's interesting, because it keeps coming back to the question of reopening. When do we reopen? And, you know, the president said this was his biggest decision, and of course his big decision across America, particularly for states, because ultimately where you live, what the hot spots are, what the numbers say, plays a part in whatever the next rollout is going to be in the next couple of weeks, in the next month, in the next few months. And then are we going to see this second wave? I'm a person who, honestly, when you hear wave, I think of wave as positive. Now, because of all this conversation about every time we see Dr. Fauci, well, you know, there could be the second wave, and this has happened before, and then remember what happened with the pandemic in 1918, and then how we saw a spike again in 1919. So we keep looking at trends. We keep looking at numbers. We keep waiting for somebody to save us. And here's the answer, my friends. I really thought about this last night when I couldn't sleep. Not because I'm worried about family, etc. I just was working on a project and was kind of restless. And I thought, and all of us know this in our hearts, right? Ultimately, no one's coming to save you. You are responsible for what happens in your world. But this is a unique time when what we do, clearly, no matter who the doctor is, no matter what their personal politics are, even if they say it doesn't play a role in what they're deciding, I don't think anyone on the planet Earth is unbiased as hard as we might try to be unbiased. But regardless, whatever information you have, whatever decisions you make for your family in your neighborhood, it doesn't just affect us. I do believe there is no question about that, because we have seen that social distancing has worked pretty well, it looks like, in California. So the big news on the day is certainly saying, yeah, WHO, you're not getting our money now. So we're going to wait. We're going to look. We're going to see what happened in any kind of mismanaging. Was there a cover-up with this spread of the coronavirus? Certainly, it's not the only thing being talked about, because it is always about the numbers. In fact, we dedicate a piece of the show, a segment of the show, to We Can Count. I say everything is about numbers, up fabulous numbers and horrible numbers. And in the case of COVID-19, these are the facts up to date that I have as of 15 minutes ago. Deaths in the United States, 25,952. Recovered, 48,036. Confirmed cases, 612,380. If I gave you a test and said, how about it, America? What's the worst place in the United States to be as far as the outbreak of the coronavirus and, you know, ultimately what we call COVID-19, and you know what you would tell me? You would say, well, New York, right? Of course, because New York is the biggest hotspot, and I don't think that was surprising to anybody, because we ultimately knew how dense it was, especially when you're talking about Manhattan, that you were going to have a lot of it hit in that area. That's why that's well over 10,000. All right, we've just scratched the surface. Coming up this hour, we're going to talk with my pal Mike Sipe about the power of peer advisory groups, which I think now are bigger than ever. And also, we're going to get your thoughts in the mailbag. Stay with us.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veterans and nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
Houseflies defecate every 4 to 5 minutes, spreading diseases and germs. Protect your food and your health with Bug Assault, a miniaturized shotgun which utilizes ordinary table salt as ammunition. Non-toxic, no batteries required, only $39.95. Use discount code GCN and get an extra 10% off your purchase at bugassault.com. Fire your fly swatter. Get your Bug Assault today. Anytime, any place, anywhere. Radio remains the most intimate of all forms of media. At home, at work, in the car, on smartphones. Over 90% of consumers still listen to radio every week. That makes choosing radio as a place to advertise your business one of the best decisions you can make. Email advertise@gcnlive.com and partner up with an experienced GCN representative. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
In the middle of a crisis, now's the time to refocus, reimagine, and reinvent your life, not to retreat. In my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big, and Become Extraordinary, I focus on overcoming adversity and pursuing my dreams. I had a hard time being patient. Can you relate? I finally realized after interviewing 16,000 people and counting, some of the most accomplished on the planet, that it's the long game. I share their secrets in my book. George Eliot says it's never too late to be who you might have been. I agree. Pick up a copy of my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, on Amazon.com.
The Tahibo Tea Club's original pure Pau D'Arco Super Tea naturally builds good cells and kills bad cells. So, it's great for healthy people, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting an infection, diabetes, or cancer. To order, visit drinksupertea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's drinksupertea.com. 818-965-9113. drinksupertea.com.
You have mail, mistress.
Let's dig in the mailbag.
Thanks to you, and that tall guy and his brother in the back. You know, I have these special infrared glasses that allows me to see who the mail came from, because it is, after all, virtual, but haha, I have a little imprint of who you are. Can you imagine that? All right, seriously, let's get right to it. This one from Larry. Kate, it's been a while since I have emailed the show. Thanks so much for giving us those constant updates. I tune into other places, and it used to be when I was traveling that I would hear something that happened earlier in the day, so I appreciate you live, sister. And you're not constantly talking about aliens. No offense to that other guy who I think you said is nice, but he's always talking about truly the things that are out of this world. I think you mean George Norrie, and he is a nice guy, and he has a reputation, and he is heard all over the place. And we sometimes talk about outer space, but it's been a while. So Larry says, you know what, New York City used to be my favorite city, and I just wonder, Kate, would any of us go there in the next 6 months and feel comfortable or think that we could be exposing ourselves to some kind of form of the coronavirus? Not to be overly paranoid, but I think people are going to feel that way. It's interesting you said that, because I was supposed to go in June to New York City for a conference, which subsequently has been moved to October. And somebody in my family said, oh boy, you think you're going back to New York? And I didn't really think about it. And now you've voiced that same thing. And of course, if we want for everything to be scrubbed down and for somebody to tell us, you know what, it is clean, it is disinfected, you are safe, brothers and sisters, we're never going to get that. But the fact that, you know, again, you look at New York and you look at the total of people that have died, and my goodness, what a killer. What a horrific thing. And it's been a terrible week in a way, because there is what they call the apex and then coming back down. And they're looking at all kinds of numbers and saying they're seeing some successes. But when you look at the amount of deaths, like John Hopkins coronavirus, they've got a dashboard there. You can always look there. Reported the U.S. deaths that had an increase of more than 2,300 from Monday. So a lot. The previous highest daily death toll was 2,108, and that was on Friday. If we just look at what the day is and where those spikes are coming. And in New York City, of course, what they're saying, and it's well over 10,000, is there's probable deaths where doctors weren't certain enough of the cause of death to list it on the death certificate. So they think there might be more with COVID-19. And then they're finding people dead in their apartments and their homes. So the thought is maybe the number is even much more than the 10,000 plus that's being listed for now. So where do we go from here as far as traveling? And Larry brings up that great question. And here's a great question to ask you. And you can send me your thoughts at katedelaneyradio.com. Would you feel safe in the next 6 months traveling? Would you jump on a plane to New York City from another part of the country? Would you travel outside of our country? I mean, these are the kind of questions that people normally were thinking about a slew of other things, not necessarily that. By the way, you can also flip me a call if you want to interrupt the flow in our virtual mailroom. You can do that. 855-266-5283. 855-266-5283. We go from Larry to this one from Tex. Kate, I've emailed the show in the past. I listened to you in Spokane, Washington. I've been listening to you for a very long time. I have to say you're sounding really good in a time when we need to hear your voice, I believe. When you look at the people who are the most vulnerable, we certainly know on the front lines, any of the healthcare workers, the EMTs, the firemen, the police. But when I look at the grocery store workers, and my mother used to work to help support us, to help get us to school, to get a college fund going as a grocery store worker, and she had a pretty decent living by doing that. I just feel so awful for the people that are on the front line, that if they decided they weren't going to be there, would it be mass chaos, as we would be really in a weak situation with a terrible supply chain where you're not going to get all of your food, you're not going to get that fast, and then you also have people that have to deliver it and package it, and they're on the front lines. It is very mixed up, particularly when you think about the economics of what somebody in that situation, and many of them in the situation that we call the front lines, who aren't making squat. Yeah, the grocery store workers, to me, they are right there with the spread of the coronavirus epidemic. And so lots have taken off work. Some have died after being exposed to respiratory illness. I talked about my nephew, who's a senior in high school, and he was being very responsible, and he got a job and is very proud of it. It let me know right away at Publix, which is the grocery store chain in Florida, and he really didn't want to step away from that job. And the family decided, yeah, you can't do this, because why were they doing that for this 18-year-old to be put in that situation? But look at the 30 supermarket employees who have died as a result of COVID-19. So the United Food and Commercial Workers International Union said that, you know, you've got 3,000 that have been called out of work after showing signs of illness or other possible coronavirus-related complications. And what's worse, and it goes back to what I said initially when I opened the show, that supermarket workers are saying, yes, there are customers who are doing social distancing and wearing masks and doing other things, but there's tons of customers that aren't adhering to safety precautions. So it goes back to we are relying on other people. No one's coming to save us, but we're relying on the people around us to potentially save us with these methods that has nothing to do with politics, in my mind. It has to do with what doctors who know viruses and spread are saying is a way that can work. But it's only as good as the weakest link on the chain. So how awful is that to have all kinds of people in different economic situations and reasons to be in a situation where they are in a grocery store helping older people, helping anybody, frankly, who needs to feed their families, and they're in the store doing just that, but then you have those workers who are there getting hit by potential coronavirus the entire time they're there. So what is the grocery store going to do to improve on the safety and the treatment of workers? They got to limit the number of customers that they have in the stores. And then you have lines outside of the stores. And then that becomes a problem. In my supermarket, they have arrows, one-way arrows, where you go an aisle goes in one direction, another aisle goes another direction. But I got to say, it's seen, you know, some people are doing it and some people are not doing it. So it just depends. All right, another quick one. This one from Kim. Yo, Kate, will we ever see sports again in our lifetime? I'm kind of being sarcastic, and of course I'm more concerned about the loss of life, but I have to tell you, I do miss sports, and I'm wondering if there is even going to be an NFL. Well, you know, the president is saying we have to get our sports back, and he's consulting with, of course, all the top commissioners, etc., in these sports leagues and other leaders, because they're pushing to try to make that happen. They're trying to have sports come back, but how do they do it safely? I said this. I was asked. I was on Gary Jeff Walker's show as a guest, fabulous talk show host out of Cincinnati, and he asked me earlier in the evening what I thought of the situation with sports, and the very first thing that comes to my mind is litigation. So here's the thing. If I give the all clear and I run the Texas Rangers, I run the New York Yankees, I run the Giants or the San Francisco 49ers, and then you come into the stadium and somehow somebody spreads some form of the coronavirus and you have people that die, can you just imagine the lawsuits and also the spread? So the idea would be you have to be incredibly careful how you do that and what that timing is. So it goes back to that question mark again. All right, you don't want to miss this conversation with my pal Mike Sipe. So interesting. Hang with us.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, the inventor of MyPillow, and like all of you out there, I had problems sleeping. Pillows would go flat, I would flip-flop all night long, I would wake up with a sore neck, maybe a headache, or feel like I needed a nap even though I slept 8 hours. When I invented MyPillow, I wanted it to where you can move the patented fill to give you the exact support you need as an individual, regardless of sleep position. MyPillow will get you into that deep REM sleep faster, and you will stay there longer. It's not about how much time we spend in bed, it's about how much of that quality sleep we get. I do all of my own manufacturing right here in the United States. I have a 10-year warranty. You can wash and dry my pillow, and I give you a 60-day money-back guarantee, so you have nothing to lose. And here's my best offer ever. You can buy one of my pillows and get one absolutely free.
Go to MyPillow.com or call 800-870-0305 and use promo code GCN. That's MyPillow.com or 800-870-0305 with promo code GCN.
For listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNlive.com today.
USA Radio News with Wendy King.
There's been a sudden increase in the coronavirus deaths in the U.S. The total is more than 25,000. That's more than any other country. President Trump is blaming the World Health Organization. He says they pushed Chinese misinformation.
The outbreak could have been contained at a source with very little death.
He says support for them will now be held up pending a review. He also says he's mapping out a way to lift some of the restrictions.
The plans to reopen the country are close to being finalized, and we will soon be sharing details and new guidelines with everybody.
He says it won't happen all at once.
The day will be very close because certain states, as you know, are in much different condition and in a much different place than other states.
This is USA Radio News.
Money! 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 Money. You gotta have it. When you need it, what do? If you don't have a rich uncle, call LendingTree. With us, hundreds of banks compete for your business, so you'll get loans with competitive interest rates, and in some cases, with no closing costs. So here's the deal. If you need money, call us. Do you want to refinance your current loan? Are you 62 or older and interested in a reverse mortgage? Then call LendingTree now. 800-634-1315. 800-634-1315. We've closed over $250 billion in loans. We know what we're doing and can help you. Call right now for a free quote. 800-634-1315. 800-634-1315. 800-634-1315. That's 800-634-1315. NMLS number 1136.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy. There's no reason why you shouldn't live to be at least 100 and have a great time getting there. And I'm going to give you a free copy of my lecture that tells you exactly how to do it. In fact, after you've lived a long and healthy life, there should be only two documents in your medical chart, a birth certificate and a death certificate. I'm Dr. Wallach with a warning. If you have a 4-inch medical chart, if you take prescription drugs for high cholesterol, high blood pressure, arthritis, joint pains, and other health issues, the medical profession is failing you. They're using you for an ATM machine. My free lecture is going to reveal what pharmaceutical companies don't want you to know. There's been groundbreaking research and discovery on how to effectively treat or eliminate over 900 different diseases naturally. It's all in my free lecture called Deadly Recipe. So call toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. Again, that's toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. 1-855-79-YOUNG.
The founder of 10X Catalyst Groups, and he serves as the chairman for the 10X CEO and 10X Pro Groups. And you're saying to yourself, what is that? It's really actually mind-blowing what he's done, and it's a principle that I love because I believe in the power of peer groups, but he's mixed it with something very, very powerful, and that's Christianity. And what he's created is really, really quite interesting, so I'm thrilled to have him on this show. Mike, thanks so much for coming on.
Thank you, Kate.
So let's talk about what I said, you know, loosely, the groups that you've created and 10X, and what was it that led you down this path? Because you had, what, 3 decades plus of a career in mergers, acquisitions, business development, et cetera, and you were the founder of Crosspoint Capital, which was a middle market investment banking firm, and we talk a lot about business on this show. So explain, first of all, your background and how you catapulted this into 10X.
Sure. Thanks, Kate. So I'm still a business guy, and I still do mergers and acquisitions, investment banking work. That's my other half-time job, you know, the other 12 hours of the day. And so I'm a business guy, but I've been in peer groups for many, many years, mostly secular peer groups. And I found them to be really valuable, but lacking in an area that was really important to me, which was my faith and the opportunity to be able to discuss issues of business from a faith perspective. Because if you really think about it, there's nothing in life whether it's relationships or the economy or business or finance or you name the topic, that doesn't somewhere have a spiritual root or a spiritual context. And so being in a peer group that is able to address that was something that I was really desirous of. And so a few years ago, I got involved in leading Christian peer groups for Christian CEOs and entrepreneurs. So these are business groups, but they're comprised of men and women of faith who want to use their business not just to make more money, although we certainly believe in building value and profit, but to use the business for the purpose of advancing the kingdom of God.
Wow, and so powerful, because like you said, you actually merged the two. You know, again, as you make the joke about the 12 hours here, then more time here. And ultimately, we're talking about a business, and you see where we are right now with the economy. What, when you look in your crystal ball, and you deal with all kinds of organizations, all kinds of groups, really on both sides, what do you see with the industry sectors, energy, technology? What do you see happening here as a result of this pandemic and how we come out of this?
Well, to say we're going to experience massive disruption, I mean, we have experienced massive disruption, and it's going to continue on. Some of that is going to actually be really positive. So there are many great things that are going to come out of what is, you know, fundamentally a disastrous situation in many perspectives, but you know, the human spirit is resilient, and Americans are resilient, and there are things that my clients are experiencing as they navigate through this that they go, gosh, you know, that was really an inefficiency, or that was actually something that we wanted to get rid of, but we didn't know how to do it before this, and now we're able to sort of clean house. Obviously, there are many things about cleaning house that are quite painful and are difficult in many areas, but I believe that out of the disruption, we're going to see changes in the supply chain, we're going to see changes in manufacturing processes, we're going to see much less in the way of business travel and in face-to-face meetings, because we found in many cases that we really don't need to do that, and that there's efficiencies that can be gained. So there are a lot of really big challenges, but out of all kinds of challenges come great advancements. As one of my mentors used to say, Jim Rohn, he used to say, don't ask why things are so hard. Ask how you can get better.
Boy, I love Jim Rohn, and I agree with that so much, and exactly what you're saying here. I think we're going to see some interesting things come out of this time. People just have to get through it and hang through and forecast, I think, for the future and look at some of the things that you're talking about. So you started off, I mean, I'm sure in a couple of different ways, but one of the things that stood out to me in your bio, which was pretty impressive, I have to say, is that you're an ex-Army Ranger captain. So you understand organization. You understand pulling things together. Did you use a lot of what you learned in the military in your career?
It's amazing how Ranger School continues to play out. One of the things that is really fundamental to doing missions behind enemy lines is really extensive contingency planning. And so developing plans for when everything is going to go wrong, because it always does. You know, there's actually a famous philosopher named Murphy. You probably have run into him, and Murphy says, hey, things are going to go wrong. They're going to go wrong at the worst possible time in the worst possible way. And so you got to plan for Murphy. And so Private Murphy was a big part of our Ranger planning. And if you think about the business climate that's going on right now, part of the reason that it's painful for some people is because they really didn't plan for Murphy. And those that did actually are coming out pretty well out of this. So diversification is one of those areas. You know, I have a client who I've been working with for a couple of years trying to get him to diversify his client base, and he's heavily focused in hospitality and restaurants, and he called me in a panic after they were all shut down and said, I should have diversified, shouldn't I? Yep, you should have.
Right. So you did give him the great advice. He just didn't pay attention to that. Oh, no kidding, because
that's the only client. That's the only one that doesn't listen to me. All of the other ones are just, they're so malleable. Yeah, they're CEOs, right? So.
Right. Oh, I love it. So let's talk about your book, The Avada Principle, and it's won all kinds of awards, and you've got a workbook that goes along with it. Tell us about that and what led you to writing the book.
Well, all of my clients and I wrestle with this idea of too much to do and not enough day, and so many conflicting demands on our lives. You know, we're to go out and be warriors in the marketplace. We're to be loving husbands and great fathers, and we're to be super fit and talented and involved in the community, all these things. Sometimes it gets quite kind of overwhelming. And the solution that has been promoted the most is this idea of living a balanced life. And I found that to actually be extremely flawed. I could never get in balance. And the more that I looked at it, the more I realized, you know, this is just an impossible kind of an approach. And so there's got to be something better than the idea of trying to achieve balance, because you can't achieve it. And as soon as you do achieve it, you're out of balance again. And so basically you've got the failure of chaos that moves to the failure of balance. And I said, well, what else might there be? And that concept is integration. And how do you live an integrated life? And interestingly, there's not much written on that. One of the things I found that those that wrote about it didn't actually make a good recommendation on what should be integrated. Like, if you were to have an integrated life, what would one integrate? And so I discovered an ancient word. It's one of the oldest words in American, not American, it's the oldest words in human language. It's called avada, and it comes out of the ancient Hebrew. And one of the interesting things about the Hebrew language is that one word can mean multiple things simultaneously. And so one of the earliest words in Genesis is the word avad, where God tells Adam to go and work the garden. And so avad is a word that shows up about 450 times throughout the Old Testament, and it actually means three things: work, worship, and service. And those three things are the things we're to integrate, and the process of doing that is what the Avada principle is about.
Wow, that's a big takeaway in that. And you know what? You made me think, oh, now I know where that word's come from. So, yes, of course. So, great. And you're right. There is nothing that I can think of off the top of my head, because I was thinking about that, that combines all of what you just talked about in one book. I can't think of a business book. I can't think of any kind of a Christian book that I've seen where it's combined that whatsoever. So, congratulations on that success. I'd be remiss not to ask you about your podcast. Tell us about your podcast.
Oh, this is so fun, and thank you for co-hosting with me on one recently where we interviewed the CEO of Buck Knives, BJ Buck. What an awesome guy, and it's so fun to do that with you. So with Forbes Books, with Forbes Books Radio, I've got a co-produced podcast where we're interviewing some of the top Christian CEOs in the country on issues of business and issues of faith and how they actually integrate their faith and their work. And it's just great fun. And you can find that on ForbesBooksRadio.com /10X. And there's some amazing interviews and many more coming.
All right, and it was really fun to talk to CJ Buck. Wow, what a history and what a family, for sure. So please go to that and check that podcast out. It was a thrill for me to be part of that too as well. And then 10xgroups.com, you can find out more about Michael's site there too as well. Michael, thanks so much for joining us on the show.
Thanks, Kate. Sure appreciate you.
Hey, guys.
Guys, why settle for poor quality Powdiarco that's sold by stores and online resellers when you can get Tahibo Tea Club's original pure Powdiarco Super Tea at drinksupertea.com or 818-965-9113. The Tahibo Tea Club's original pure Powdiarco Super Tea is only available at drinksupertea.com. 818-965-9113. 818-965-9113. That's drinksupertea.com.
In the middle of a crisis, now is the time to refocus, reimagine, and reinvent your life, not to retreat. In my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big, and Become Extraordinary, I focus on overcoming adversity and pursuing my dreams. I had a hard time being patient. Can you relate? I finally realized after interviewing 16,000 people and counting, some of the most accomplished on the planet, that it's the long game. I share their secrets in my book. George Eliot says it's never too late to be who you might have been. I agree. Pick up a copy of my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, on Amazon.com.
Are you afraid to go to the mailbox because of letter after letter from the IRS? Are they stacking on more and more penalties and interest? By now, you know the problem won't go away on its own. Don't let the IRS chase you to your grave with penalties and interest and liens and levies. You need real help now. I'm Dan Pilla. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I help thousands of people solve tax problems they thought couldn't be solved. I can help you too. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com. Danpilla.com.
Advertising is simple. It starts with someone who has a need.
Mom!
And then gets more specific.
Mom, I want pizza.
Then we add urgency.
I want pizza tonight.
Before you know it, your GCN advertising message is reaching millions of listeners. Listeners who are definitely in need.
We want pizza!
You see, advertising on GCN is simple. Your message meets their need, and the result means new business for you. Tell us about your business, then let our super creative department go to work to craft just the right message to feed those who have an urgent need.
We want pizza tonight!
GCN has the most affordable national radio advertising rates, period. And millions of people listen to GCN radio programs on over 1,000 AM and FM and XM stations and streaming audio live. Get started today with GCN, the Genesis Communications Network. Just shoot us an email, advertise@GCNlive.com.
The final phase of extermination is set to commence now. And as population die-off becomes evident, you know it is the time of punishment in all that is written. The cover for mass die-off is evolution and global warming frauds, also used as false proof of their Christ. They are from the lines that were disinherited 2,000 years ago. Now they claim to be his Christ based upon blood type, DNA, and long lifespan. Go to unveilingthem.com. That's UNVEILING them.com.
Those of us who believe in building a more just, more generous, more democratic America, where everybody has a fair shot at opportunity, for those of us who believe in a government that cares about the many and not just the few, for those of us who love this country and are willing to do our part to make sure it lives up to its highest ideals, now's the time to fight for what we believe in.
All right, so the former president comes out and backs up his VP, not a shocker, Joe Biden. Here we are at the tail end of the show. Hey, hey, everybody. Kate Delaney, thanks for joining us on this journey. You know, we've been doing this for over 10-plus years. Never seen anything like this pandemic. What will happen when it comes to November and the vote? Will we be voting from home? Will everything be lifted and fabulous and we'll be going to the polls? We don't know that. We're still living under the question mark called the pandemic. But as far as the politics are concerned, we know it's Biden and, of course, the incumbent president, Donald J. Trump. And the last three presidents, Democratic or Republican, have won two terms. So right now, in the thick of this, the president knows this is what people are watching. Yes, you have your rabid fans, but what about the people who are in the gap? And this is also what the Democrats are looking at. It's always a fight for those that are right in the middle of the teeter-totter. And at this point, here we are, almost knocking on the door of May. Not going to be any convention. Certainly the Democrats aren't going to hold their convention. And what does that mean? It means there are going to be other ways to get messages out. And it's the same with the president, who was doing a lot of rallies leading up to this point. So it's not a surprise that Obama came out and backed Joe Biden. I guess the surprise will be who is going to be the running mate, which I mentioned before. And it's also not a surprise. I mean, at this point, you know, Joe Biden won the Alaska Democratic primary. I mean, this is just, it's just adding up those numbers and getting to the officialness of it. Bernie Sanders, of course, endorsed Joe Biden for president. So it was only a matter of time before you're going to see that you were going to have Barack Obama do the same thing. And it's funny, I was thinking about this today, and even somebody wrote about what's going to be different about this campaign. A lot of people have written about this. What's going to be different about this campaign? What's going to be similar about this campaign? Is it going to look like any other campaign that we've been through in my lifetime? No. Probably in most of yours, it's not going to look the same either. And it's so different from what we saw back in 2016. And, you know, you look at polls, and then you look at voters, and voters, I don't know if voters feel strongly about Biden either way. I mean, his ratings could change maybe in either direction in the final throes of the campaign. Is the president more locked in than he is? If you go back and you look at historic races, if you look at those that were running again for that second time, and this time around, I mean, so much of it is about dealing with the coronavirus, dealing with the pandemic, I think. Now, CNN did a poll that shows that the former vice president holds a wide lead over President Donald Trump in the race for the White House. And in polls, we know you can flip them in either directions, partisan directions, etc. But in this poll, Biden leads Trump 53% to 42% among registered voters, of course. Then you break that down further, and then you go into demographics, and you go into key handling, the way things were handled, health care, coronavirus, you know, that kind of thing. And Biden's advantage, according to this poll, is on health care and helping the middle class, especially those who are stuck with what now has happened with unemployment and whatnot. And what Democrats would defect, and what would they defect on? So is this going to be an issues campaign? You know, I think last time around it was, we're fed up. You know, anybody, not the same old, same old. Let's do something different. Let's try something different. I think it was, we're stuck in this two-party system. We're tired of the same rhetoric. I think it's more about that. By the way, the Trump campaign and the RNC raised $212 million in the first quarter. And while the president is talking about reopening the economy and how does that happen, the former VP, Joe Biden, who we're mentioning in the race for the White House for the Democrats, released his strategy and as to whether or not May 1st is now the target date of the revival for the economy or not. And Biden called for a series of aggressive steps before the country can reopen more businesses and put more people back to work. He outlined the need to continue social distancing, which, of course, the president is obviously saying, as people are saying, and utilizing the full powers of the Defense Production Act and establishing widespread testing. I mean, the widespread testing, if we had widespread testing, it would be all the difference in the world, and I think we all know that. And we also know that there's no way that things will get back to normal, because there is no switch that you can flip that will take us to a sanitized nation that, oh, geez, I got a cold. Oh, I think I caught something from sitting on the plane. Now you're scared to death that the thing you're going to catch is the thing that could kill you, which is COVID-19. So that's a big challenge. And that's why you see Fauci saying again and again and again, you know, we're not there yet when it comes to quickly opening the country. He said that we've got something in place that's efficient and we can rely on, and we're not there yet, saying that opening the country on May 1st after federal social distancing guidelines are set to expire is a bit overly optimistic for many places in the U.S. And pretty much that makes sense that probably we're going to have is certain areas will open in different ways as compared to others. And here's the question, as we get closer to the fall, which could be the second wave, and here we were playing Hail to the Chief, and what is that going to look like? Besides voting, what is our social life going to look like? The old thing of, hey, where do you want to eat? Where do you want to eat? You just grab the keys, jump out in the car, and you run off, whether it's your family or just your significant other or whatever it is you're doing. Imagine dating in the middle of this, and you go out to a restaurant. Is it going to be like, I don't know, are they going to take some of the tables out and distance people a little bit more? I think some restaurants, I guess, with really a lot of space, perhaps could be luckier, but how many that are popular fall into that scenario where they're gifted with so much space they can just, you know, push it out, and nobody's that close to each other? I think that's wishful thinking. So the questions and the question for this election has shifted to something that wasn't really being debated at all. And, of course, it wasn't being debated back in November, back in October with the Democrats. They weren't talking about pandemic. They weren't talking about COVID-19 and how do you handle it and what happens when the country gets smashed with that. So we look at all the issues and health and surviving and thriving and the economy couldn't be bigger. And we've said in the past, and we know this, as an American, if you look at history, there's no question it's what's in your wallet because of the economic power to be able to feed your family, to be able to live the American dream. That weighs heavily into the way people vote. But now I think you really have that whole split as to the safety of COVID-19 and being able to so-called reopen the country and what that looks like to most people. I would assume if I'm the president, of course I want the economy back up, and of course I want people back to work who are wrecked trying to figure out what they're going to do, and they're in food bank lines now that wrap around cities because it's so insane. Will it be back to some sense of normal or a new normal before November? I think that's certainly what the White House is banking on, hoping for, and wanting to see happen sooner rather than later. But how about you? Send me your thoughts, katedelaneyradio.com. Thanks for listening to this hour of the show. Stay safe, everybody. Mahalo.
Crisis, now is the time to refocus, reimagine, and reinvent your life, not to retreat. In my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big, and Become Extraordinary, I focus on overcoming adversity and pursuing my dreams. I had a hard time being patient. Can you relate? I finally realized after interviewing 16,000 people and counting, some of the most accomplished on the planet, that it's the long game. I share their secrets in my book. George Eliot says it's never too late to be who you might have been. I agree. Pick up a copy of my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, on Amazon.com.
The Tahibo Tea Club's original pure Pauti Arco Super Tea builds the red corpuscles in our blood, which bring oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves, and cancer dies in oxygen. To order, visit drinksupertea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's drinksupertea.com or call 818-965-9113. Drinksupertea.com.